All right. Good evening, folks. Hello, insiders. Welcome back to another QS Cast. Tark joining me as always. What's up, Tarkan?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing? How's your week been?
I'm doing all right. Doing okay. You know, the semester's winding down, getting close to finals, so it's always a little hectic. But, cool. You know, we're trying to stay on schedule here. And
we actually have a good
amount of stuff to talk about. What?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well with our schedule. I think
we've been doing well for like 2 weeks.
Two weeks we've been holding it. All right.
Yeah, last cool. 2 weeks we've been doing solid. I mean, you know, past that I don't know, but
we're trying, folks.
We're definitely trying. Yeah. Small audience tonight. It'll likely increase as we go along, but for right now we got trusty Efren, one of our moderators and our recording bot. So.
We now have four more people that jumped in. So
we have some really good questions. We also have some stuff to talk about for Commander 2018.
Yep.
So we have Core Set 2019, but Commander 2018. All right. But we'll revisit that very shortly because we have a question about it. But mostly we're going to talk about Core 19 or Commander 2018, right? Yeah. And that'll tackle just the subject itself and a question we had, and then, just standard procedures, normal. But, I mean, we don't have a ton to go on, but at least we're gonna talk about it a little bit. And we've had some great discussions in the Insider Discord this past week, just to kind of highlight a couple of the discussions that we had really briefly. I had some really good discussions about and I think you jumped in a little bit, Tark, about like just planeswalkers in general and like how liquid they are. And there's like a planeswalker bulk quote price and just normal bulk. Like planeswalkers don't really have, like they don't ever really go to bulk prices. Like the lowest they really ever go is like $2. And, yeah. We talked about that a lot. And it was just a really interesting conversation because, as we go along and, with their design philosophy, we're seeing that more of these planeswalkers, like if they're not seeing significant play, end up in like the $2 mark. And it's really crazy because that was not the case, at least for a while. But, looking back, I mean, we've seen like $2 planeswalkers go back to as far back as like Khans of Tarkir.
Yep. And they don't stay too long, $2 too long for every minute. It was what, Tybalt that used to be the benchmark for the dirt cheap?
I mean, it's like a meme at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Tybalt's a meme. And now it's become a recurring thing where we get, because we've had more planeswalkers, obviously, not all of them are played. I think that's sort of the takeaway here is that more planeswalkers are printed these days. Most of them aren't heavily played, so therefore you end up with cheaper walkers, but they're always, everybody likes, when I say heavily played, I mean in, tournament staples and ubiquitous in EDH all over the place, right? But still, Planeswalker is probably one of the most beloved card types. So, I mean, casual players just love to have their Planeswalkers. So,
yeah. And I know that's a wide net of cards. Like, people like to just cast this wide net on a variety of cards and just say, oh, well, this card's like awesome and casual and EDH formats and that kind of like large. I mean, it's a large area of the Magic, player base, but, Planeswalkers are pretty universally liked, especially by younger players and just overall casual players. I mean, we talked about this a little bit in the Insider Cast. Like, they would make, like, decks, like, centered around – like, just Planeswalkers in general always sell really well, no matter if they're $2, $4 or more. I mean, the worst Planeswalkers even still sell off the shelves. So, I mean, I didn't want to get like too much into it, but just kind of like a prelude of like the last week of what we were talking about, just kind of the conversations that have been happening. And they were really intriguing and engaging. So just wanted to kind of, start the podcast off with that, going to Commander 2018 and then the normal kind of, we'll answer questions and then talk about the QS Cast pick stuff, tracker stuff. But yeah, I mean, I just thought it was very interesting because I think the conversation started with like Jaya, and if these like planeswalkers don't see significant play, they basically go like right down to like planeswalker bulk prices of like $2. And then the walkers that are played are like 30. So there's like a huge disparity there. But you know what else? And maybe I attributed this. It's actually really interesting. a lot of the, I mean, the maybe it's the Planeswalker deck Planeswalkers that are just like inundating every planes, every player. It just with so many Planeswalkers now. I think maybe, I mean, could that be a factor? I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, because before, I mean, we would get planes. Yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, I think because Planeswalkers used to be sort of, they had an allure to them because there weren't many of them around. Now they become just, they're very fairly common, and even more, when I say common, I mean, they're not these sort of exotic, interesting things. They're not super unique anymore. We get so many of them. And now that we have these Planeswalker decks, which are casual focused, there's even more of them that aren't very good, right? So yeah, I think the allure of the Planeswalker has sort of diminished a little bit as far as, you know, they used to be these sort of like really unique mythics.
I mean, technically, we have like 9 Planeswalkers coming out of Core 19. I mean, seriously, I think there's 5 Walkers for the Planeswalker decks, and then what, 4 Walkers in the set? 5 with Nicol Bolas, so like 10 Walkers in one set. That's just, I think that's like kind of overkill sometimes. And maybe that's attributing to the prices too. But funny enough, the Planeswalker deck Walkers, 11, wow. The Planeswalker deck Walkers, as bad as they are, I haven't seen one really fall below like $5. It's nuts. Like I just looked at, I just happened to be on like Card Kingdom's buy list. Like Liliana Death's Majesty, which was a Planeswalker deck Planeswalker, is buy listing for like $564 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you have to spend like $12 to get them, so right? Like they're only that you only can get them from those decks and they're like $12.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just thought that was interesting. Other you know, really quickly, you know, it was funny because like the reserve list thing came up again. And I brought up my conversation just very briefly, and I want to keep this very brief. And I don't know if you agree. You probably, I mean, you kind of sort of agree on this because we talked about this a little bit. But I think my whole take has evolved with the reserve list into, I think, literally people's argument boils down to dual lands. Like, I think that's where my stance has evolved so much that I honestly don't even care about. Like, I don't care about the reserve list, honestly. I think, you know, personally, I think it would be better if it was gone. But honestly, I don't even think it would matter even if we had the reserve list and literally just the dual lands were not on it. Because I think that's everyone's argument. I mean, is everyone's argument the abolishment for the reserve list? Like Wormwood Tree Folk? I mean, seriously? I mean, who cares about that card? No one cares. Like, yeah, all these cards are going up just because they're on the reserve list. But realistically, all these cards would be dirt. I mean, people only really care about the dual lands at this point. I don't even think like people would even care about Black Lotus. Like, would you right now, like if the reserve list was gone, like go and buy like a bunch of Black Lotuses? I mean, I don't really even feel the urge to.
It's interesting you mentioned that because I think I saw Sig had made a comment in the Discord.
I don't even think like it would increase like Legacy and Vintage like number. I just don't know. I don't think so. Well,
yeah. So there was a conversation about there was like, would you trade in, so Jordan Pollock, who we had on to talk about the tax stuff, he wrote an article about, and he was like, you know, I'll trade down power into things like, he had called out fetch lands and whatnot, but he was basically saying he would trade down power into things that he felt were more liquid. And I sort of supported that argument. I kind of was on the side of that. And I think Sig and a couple of people were like, well, if you want to play with your Moxes, you should hold on to them. And it was interesting for me to think about it. I was like, I've never played with Vintage cards, and the thought of playing with like multiple $1,000 cards is crazy. Like I'll just proxy them and keep, like, to me, the Power 9 is strictly a collectible. But I guess there is a community of people that want to play with the actual multi-$1,000 card.
Like, not like barely a fraction of players.
I agree with you. No. And what was interesting to me was I was like, wow, because I agree with you. I think that is such a small minority. And I think maybe Sig and Stu, and maybe they're a little, that's not surprising to them because I think they play in those circles of people who play old school and whatnot. But for me, and I think I speak for, I would argue definitely the majority of players playing with a Mox, which is a like multiple thousands of dollars, is just kind of a wild idea to me. Like, I would keep that in a sleeve or a case or whatever, and I would just proxy it to play with my friends with a vintage deck or whatever. I Like, it's really hard for me to imagine playing a deck that's like $10,000. That's really crazy to me, right? But yeah, I there's this very small minority, but I think you're absolutely right. Like, I just think that that's a tiny fraction of the player base, and no one is really concerned about the big reserve list cards. I think you're 100% right. It's the dual lands.
And maybe like
I think it's an old school.
Make a good point. He does make a good point. And I do. I definitely overlooked that. There are like some like five other marquee cards like Gaia's Cradle and all that, like that are huge EDH staples. So that's absolutely correct. So I don't want to gloss over that fact, but it's like 10 cards, literally off the reserve list of like what, 50, you know, 70, 80, something like that.
Yeah.
Mr. Miyagi emoji. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So yeah, that was just really quick. I'm sure we'll get into a whole big discussion whenever, you know. I think we're due, actually, Tark. I think we're due in like another month for another reserve list debate, aren't we? Like, isn't the, like, doesn't the community like
the buyout, you know,
Twitter fall, and like it's like every 3 months. So when was the last one? Like 2 months ago? I think we're due. Seth posted an article. That's definitely going to be a 24-hour argument. So, you know, we'll have to talk about it at least a little bit again.
Although there's the, I mean,
thanks,
to echo the comment here that some people are saying, like, yeah, these Fallen Empire cards and these Homeland cards, assume that these are being bought for pure speculation and profit seeking. Like something like Aeolipile, which is a pile in my opinion. I mean, there's really no reason why that card should be $2 or more. I mean, you should just assume that those cards are being bought for purely speculation.
3 years ago, like not even a year ago, half these cards that increased we never thought would be over a dollar. I mean, come on, like Elvish Farmer, whoever thought that would be over a dollar?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's literally just reserve list. All these cards are dirt. Like there's like 10 cards on there anyone even cares about. I don't even think the player base at large doesn't care about Mox and Black Lotus and all that stuff. They just want Gaia's Cradle, a couple other things for EDH and dual lands. Like that's pretty much it. That's all people care about.
Yeah. Old school, some old school cards.
Yeah, if that. And they don't need to be on the reserve list to enjoy them. Because obviously people are buying Alpha and Beta right now like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And those cards aren't on the reserve list.
But there's a correlation, right? I mean, that's, you know, the Alpha Beta boom and the gold rush there is kind of goes in line with the reserve list boom, right?
Right.
I mean,
but there's sets in old school that are fairly like accessible, but they're not on the reserve list either.
Yeah.
Like, but doesn't it go through the dark? Like, what does it go through again? I can't remember now off the top of my head.
93, 94 goes through. Yeah, I think you're right.
Urza Block. Yeah. So I mean, there's a good amount of those cards that are not on the reserve list.
I don't think it even goes up to Urza Block. I think it ends, like, I think it's literally 93, like 94 or something like that.
No,
I think it goes up to
old school. Yeah, Cradle is reserve list. Yeah, for sure. But
Cradle is reserve list, yes.
Yeah, definitely Urza. Yeah, it's Urza Block. That's what I thought.
Old school goes up to Urza Block? Okay. Cool. I thought it was only
old school. What do we got? Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. 93, 94. Thanks. We have a.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I. That's what I thought.
About Alpha, Beta, Unlimited, Arabian Nights, Antiquities, Legends, and the Dark. I knew it. I say the Dark like before? I was like, isn't it the Dark? Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it speaks to the broader point of
those sets like increase for no reason, and like I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on it.
Yeah.
So on to you want one last thing?
No.
Okay. So Commander 2019. Thank you, Efren. Was it Efren? If it's not Efren, it was Efren. No, it wasn't. Osberg and Dylan. Appreciate staying on top of this spoiler stuff. So what we got from? thanks. We have for this year's theme. We have Izzet artifacts, so blue, red, Jund, black, red, green, lands, Bant, white, blue, green, enchantments, and Esper, white, blue, black, top of library matters. Now, what we saw a long time ago, I think, was, don't quote me, but I think like they're centered around planeswalkers or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I don't know if like the planeswalkers are going to be the commanders or they're like, they have a planeswalker in the set or in the, yeah, these sets, but I
think
know.
the commanders are planeswalkers. Is what.
So we were talking, I mean, one of the questions, this is going to answer one of the questions is, immediately we start looking at, what could be centered, like what could increase from these themes. Obviously enchantments is a good one. I'm sure we'll see another boost to Sarah's Sanctum because that literally happens every single time. And probably Opalescence, that literally happens every single time. But short of that, I mean, those reserve lists, so those are pretty safe. It's just tough because we don't know what could get reprinted. I mean, I think some returning cards that they normally reprint are like Sigil to the of the Empty Throne, like stuff like that. Just like obvious cards. And I really wouldn't go after any non-foil stuff. But again, it's just tough because we don't know what's in the set yet. So like some cards that we may think are awesome to go in on could easily get reprinted. And then I was bringing up like, yeah, I get like enchantments is a really good theme from Commander, but like how many times can some of these cards keep increasing from like enchantment matters stuff, right? Like there has to be some diminishing returns after a while.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Like lands, like off the top, card matter off the top, like, okay, that's kind of new. Like that's not like an everyday theme from the Commander decks, but I mean, lands and enchantments and artifacts, like how many times can you like cards increase from that? I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's just me. I
think it's a very valid point. The issue is now we're getting Commander decks every year and they're chock full of reprints. So it used to be, okay, cool. Well, something gets reprint, it's not that big of a deal, but we're slowly getting to the point where, we're reaching a saturation point, right? Like Sol Ring, right, for example. Somebody just mentioned Sol Ring. Yeah, Sol Ring's probably going to be in there, and that's its, like, what, millionth printing?
Sol Ring, Relic Retirer's like 10 trillionth reprint and stuff
and
like
those,
that.
Those cards are always buy lists and have value of, 50 cents to a dollar or whatever, or more, but it's like there's going to be a cap. The ceiling's getting lower on these cards that are just reprinted into the ground, these Commander cards. So, yeah, I think we're slowly reaching that point that some of this stuff, and that makes it a little bit harder to speculate on, because if you pick something that gets hit, the likelihood that it has any chance to grow past where it drops or where it's at is really much more tough these days, because we're getting Commander sets every year and there's just more and more reprints.
Right. Well, I'm not even talking about the stuff that could get reprinted, right? Like, let's just say, I'm just using an example, but like, let's just say Sigil of Empty Throne was never printed in any of these enchantment matters stuff, right? Like, how many times can this increase and decrease based on enchantments matter stuff, right? Like, there has to be some diminishing returns after a while.
Well, there's definitely a ceiling, right? Outside the reserve list ones, there's going to be a ceiling for
right.
it.
Right, so let's just say, there's a Commander set every year, and let's just say there was an enchantment-based Commander set every year. So Sigil of the Empty Throne's like a $5 card. Does it just increase to 10 or 12 every year and then just go back down to 5? Like, how many times can that happen before you just start getting diminishing returns? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many of the cards that don't get reprinted, like, how many times can they increase after?
Well, so I think that comes down to the era, the card that we're talking about. So if it's something that was printed, we'll say, like, in Theros block or after, I think it's going to be – I think that there is – those cards actually have a decent amount of room to grow because there's just so many in the marketplace. So if let's say a card from Theros block or whatever block, you can take any block, I guess,
right.
A Khan's block or whatever. If new generation, if it's missed, if it dodges reprint, set after set after set, there's plenty of those cards. I mean, a lot of those cards could be bulk and they could end up being $6, $7, $8 cards by the time they finally get a reprint. Four Commander sets down the line. So now if you're talking about something that is so that's the new stuff. I think there's plenty out in the market for them to see gains, though I don't think you're going to have the gains of where it goes from $1 to $25 because there are so many copies. For the old stuff, I think you can see higher spikes that hold. The problem you have, Chaz, what you're talking about, where you say, well, where's the ceiling, is that in the older cards, the supply is so low that we'll say somebody, I think Sig was talking about Oracle of Moldiah, right? Let's say Oracle of Moldiah doesn't get reprinted again. I mean, there's only so many of those going around.
That's kind of where I was going. So like that's where I was going with that is don't look at the stuff like Oracle of Moldiah, not only because it just seems prime for a reprint at, you know, that's just like nearing its breaking point for a reprint at this point. But it, like, that's not a card I would expect to jump more than some other cards that have been slowly rumbling over the last few years. So, right. I wouldn't go after, like, the $35 greater or what is it? Oramancy? What is it, like, the enchantment? Greater Oramancy? The $35 greater Oramancy, but the card I mentioned, like, 3 months ago, like, Herald of the Pantheon, which is, like, slowly but surely increasing bit by bit.
Yeah.
You know? That's the stuff I would rather go after than not only, like, the greater Oramancy, and I'm hoping that's the card, so if I'm wrong, please correct me, but that's a card that not only seems like prime for a reprint at this point, Shadowmoor with no reprint, but that's like already pretty much at its ceiling. Like, it's just not going to keep increasing every time an Enchantment Matters set drops. Like, Sarah's Sanctum and Opalescence are one thing, but I don't foresee like these continuously to keep increasing. I'd rather be looking at the stuff that is, first of all, a lot cheaper and just has slowly been, every time these announcements happen, that they just slowly creep up a little bit.
Yep. And I want to just make a quick comment on Efren's point here, where Efren says, if people are upgrading these decks, are they taking the cards out later and selling, or are the cards off the market forever? They're upgrading their decks, they're probably taking them out, but you also have to assume that new players do come into the game that will... EDH is a casual format, so that is a true point. But that you also have to assume there is new players added to the base, right? So because we don't have any concrete data to crunch these numbers and do any actual math, we're sort of just spitballing here. But I would argue that the longer something goes without a reprint, obviously the better chance it has. Though the new cards won't see insane spikes, they can see gains over time, and I think, particularly now that we've had a bit of a boom in Magic, I don't know how much the player base has actually grown, but I would say that I have more confidence in newer cards these days than I did before, simply because age is finally coming around and we've had a nice bump in the market that has added some players to the player base. So yes, that's a valid point, Efren, that people probably take those cards out, sell them, reintroduce them in the marketplace, but then you do have new players that have come in that want to try out these decks. So there's kind of a theoretical balancing act that goes on there.
There's one last point that I wanted to make too with these Commander sets is that while some cards, I mean, we're going to talk about some specific cards, but especially like for the QS tracker, we talked about some cards for this. It's always possible that some of these cards are just made obsolete by new cards. That does tend to happen sometimes. So it's just tough. But we did identify at least, I think, a couple of strong cards. I talked about some enchantment stuff like 3 months ago, trying to get ahead of the curve here. So all of those are still in play. I'm not going to use those again, but just to reiterate, Herald of the Pantheon, Starfield of Nyx. What was the other one? There's one more. Daxos the Returned. Yeah, I just went on like an enchantment theme spree like 3 months ago randomly. But I was trying to get ahead of the curve because those were, you know, just in case this was a theme, you know, you're already ready. And I liked foils of those, but yeah. So I don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting. We'll definitely, they start on the 23rd. So the Monday on the 23rd. And so we'll keep the pulse on that one.
Yep, about a week and a half. Yep,
week and a half. Should be some interesting things that'll probably happen in, you know, the next few, you know, weeks or so as people are specking on it.
So in summary, if you're speculating now, we're on the side of foils. I actually have a foil pick that I'll get to when we get to picks, but I don't want to speak for you, Chaz, but we're recommending foils. I'm recommending foils. I think you are as well, Chaz. And waiting until we get to, you know, spoiler time before we start just aggressively buying things that we don't think are on there, just because, you know, they can reprint anything and everything in these things. So
yeah. All right. So moving on from Commander it'll kind of answer another question just very quickly on Core 19. So we had some, we had a couple updates on MTGO, some standing updates, some 5-0 lists, a couple of updates on the 9th and the 12th. So today, and back on the 9th. So just a little bit of data to work through just to kind of see what Core 19 cards are being used. Now, keep in mind, just so people keep this fresh in their mind with these results, especially early on. I mean, and all of these results, honestly, they're curated. So they're literally cherry picking what they want to show us. And obviously it's going to be a little bit skewed to showcase more Core 19 stuff. I mean, I do understand there's 5-0 lists. And I would probably wager between the 9th and the 12th, like hundreds of games have been played on MTGO. I don't know the number exactly, but I'm assuming there's like hundreds of games in the span of 3 days. So, I mean, it's a pretty good representation, but just keep that in mind that they do cherry pick and curate these on their own. Like, this is not just every 5-0 like list dump. Like, this is what they wanted to show. So it could be a little bit skewed. But that being said, not a lot of action on July 9th. What we did see was quite interesting. So we did see Nicole Bolas show up, the Flip Walker, show up as a 3-of and as a 4-of. And I've seen that pretty consistently over the couple of days, like the 9th and the 12th, that when Nicole Bolas does show up, it's usually as a 3 or a 4-of. So that's interesting. Not so much on July 9th other than Nicole Bolas. I did see a couple of Liliana. Man, which Liliana is this now? The zombie one?
Oh, the zombie one.
Oh, man. I don't even know the names anymore. Untouched by Death show up. But sometimes it doesn't show up at all. So that's like kind of concerning, at least like for the short term, because like the main zombies are rotating. So I wouldn't go super deep. Ajani, on the other hand, is seeing a lot of play. And Ajani's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I'm still on the Ajani train. I think that could end up being the breakout.
I think Ajani's gonna be solid. The problem is it's like there's so much stuff in Core 19, right? Like I'm sure that Nicole Bolas will drop off a little bit. So that'll give, everything's going to drop off a little bit. So I think that's a good outlook for Ajani to increase back up to like the $25 range. The problem is it's like 15 right now.
Yeah.
But well, I mean, I'd still be sending 60 to make 100. What?
I think it comes down to Pro Tour, like a lot of these
things. Yeah, that probably helps. But I think the first few weeks of SCG should help too.
Yeah.
Because that's usually where, at least for the standard section, they usually pull from MTGO finishes. I mean, it's pretty obvious at this point.
And I mean, the mighty are falling. You know, Chaz, we talked about how there was going to be a lot of hype around the big mythics, and those were going to fall off, and they are tanking. I mean, Crucible is $19 and dropping.
I literally said that. Like, it's so crazy. I knew it.
Yeah. Scapeshift, $13 and dropping. Omniscience, $9 and dropping. So, I would actually be looking at some of those big casual mythics, those big reprints. I mean, Omniscience particularly, $9 for an Omniscience. If that gets down to like $5 to $7, I think that's definitely a pickup.
Yeah.
I don't know how much lower Crucible can go. I mean, I don't think $10 is reasonable.
That could easily also be in the Commander set, a big splashy mythic like that, not in the Enchantment set, or maybe they figured Core 19 was a sufficient reprint that they don't include it. So that could have easily been planned.
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't make the cut. That's why they put it in the Core 19. That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, man. It's just, I kind of called that from the start that these cards just cannot hold that original price. They're going to tank. And we didn't even go, I mean, release day is tomorrow. So, I mean, we're only really on pre-release and early pre-order pickups. Like, were they still doing that box promotion, like where you can pick it up early? Was that just Dominaria? All right, so they weren't doing that.
Okay.
So Friday is going to be a huge sell-off. I mean, some of this stuff is going to literally get slashed in half. I could see like $12 crucibles, $15 crucibles.
$12 crucible?
Yep.
I would be buying at $12.
Yeah, I think it's going to get probably hover around 15. So you could probably pick them up locally, like, or on social media pages for like $12. I bet you could find them in a couple of days. Yeah, I think $12. So yeah, again, on Core 19 also. So on the 12th, we saw a lot more Core 19 stuff. Sarkhan's Unsealing. I mean, first deck off the bat, green, red monsters, Arcan's Unsealing, which seems like a beating. But I mean, it's so narrow. I don't know if that's really an actionable. Some other stuff I saw, Ajani again. Yeah, a lot more Ajani. Yeah, it's like a three or a four of. Some Nicole Bolas, some Sarkhan, Demanding Dragon. So a little bit of everything, honestly. But the big mythic I kept seeing a lot was Ajani.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Ajani's going to be – I think that's going to end up being a breakout. And Liliana as well. Listen, Liliana's bucks. If that zombie deck becomes a thing and Liliana's a staple in that, it'll shoot up. It will. And the interesting thing is – so I think these big reprints have plenty of room to drop because they are big reprints, whereas I think that – so – if you're going to subtract EV from anywhere, I think you have plenty of money to pull away from the big reprints and put into things like Ajani, Liliana, the dragons, things like that. So don't be deceived if the EV seems not only skewed, but if it's still being held by most of the reprints. I think money can be pulled from the reprints and added to these other cards. So
yeah, I don't know if – oh, man. Could Nicole Bolas hit Scarab God prices? Ooh. You know, it very well it could. Very well could. I mean, I'm literally every time I see Nicole Bolas, it's a three or a four of. Sometimes it's a one of, like randomly in these control decks, but I'm seeing it in so many different archetypes. Now again, this is curated, so they want us to see this, but I mean it's a powerful card. I mean, the front side is not bad. Despite, you know, I think we've had some back and forth on Nicole Bolas, but I mean it definitely flips into one of the most powerful planeswalkers for sure.
Yeah.
So, if it ever does flip. But once it does, it's pretty much game over. Gigantosaurus. All right, let's go. Man, I was saying this to Tark. Yeah, I saw this deck. Three Blanchwood Armor. That's some old school green beat-em-up strategy right there. I cannot believe 24 Forest Blanchwood Armor dot deck went the distance. A 5-0 list with Blanchwood Armor in standard. That is that's bold. Yeah, I think it's Ajani, Bolas, and honestly, like $10. Sarkhan Dragon Fireblood is $10 and likely going to drop. I like that card under $10.
I like it under $10 as well. I don't
like
think
if it's that, gonna... if it goes down to like that $7. Oh man, I would love to get them for like $6. But like, if that starts teetering around like seven-ish, I think that's a buy.
I think it's, to be honest with you, it's such a has such an
such to, a build to, around me.
It's a build around, and to take advantage of it is very kind of narrow. So I think it could drop to. I think it could get down to $5. To be honest with you, if there's like, no competitive play around it, it could easily drop.
Yeah, but like, look at the caliber of cards that you're playing around it. I mean, like, you got Varric's Blade. Which is, I'm going to talk about that in a couple minutes on my cast tracker. Card's nuts. You got Chandra. I mean, that's going to rotate. You got Demanding Dragon. You got Glory. I mean, you got some pretty good cards around this card, right? And we're going into Ravnica. So you got Gruul. Probably have some dragons. I mean, you know, you got Izzet. Maybe has some dragons. You could definitely build around this card. It's not bad for a 3-mana walker at all. I like me some 3-mana walkers.
Well, where's Jace at now? Jace is $5, right?
Yeah. Thank goodness I did not use that a pick on that. That'd be killing me right now.
So yeah, I mean, there's a 3-mana walker that's holding at $5. If this one obviously seems much better to me.
I think it's better. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Jace still has a chance, but.
You know, $5 to $8 is not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh man, if this gets to $5, I'm definitely buying it. Like, there's no way it's not. Like, that has to be a buy.
I totally agree. It has much more utility than Jace does.
It's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good card.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ajani's nuts.
Yeah. So I think Ajani. I think Liliana. because zombies is seems to be a thing. It seems people have seemed to be brewing and
it's
having success.
It's hard for Core 19, man. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah. Johnny, Liliana, the dragons. I still think all the dragons are going to hit $5 or less. I would be scooping them up. And like I said, I think what's going to happen is if you have things that pop that aren't reprints, that can the reprints hold value that can be pulled to boost other cards, right? So
yeah,
a Johnny can pull from Crucible in these cards. At which point, when the reprints reach their floors, which we'll find out after release and after Pro Tour and whatnot, and see if these cards impact Standard at all. But I would then start be looking at the reprints. So I would,